Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast with your host, Juan. It is a little bit earlier today for those of you watching us on our live broadcast, so we appreciate that. We made adjustments for multiple time zones today. We're covering all of the U.S. As we get started, per the normal stuff, as we're getting ready here, we've still got our sticker and a cause going on. For those of you that are out there, if you got a cause, if you got a thing, and I promise, look, I'm going to do it right this time. Look, there it is. It's on this side. So it's on this side. You send me your sticker. Give me a little bit of information on your cause. We put that sticker up. The Podfather was on earlier last week. We saw him. So we got an Earplug Podcast sticker. Make sure you check out all the different shows on the Earplug Podcast. As we're getting ready to get kicking here, make sure you take a moment, folks, and we go ahead and we flood Facebook with as many, many, many places as we possibly can find to share the show with, because if you belong to any of those yard sales groups, our goal is always the same, folks. We want to get them to kick you off of that yard sale group because you've shared with them so many times the Earplug Podcast Network. All righty. So as we get started, if you know me, I'm all about a list. We've done in the past, we had Richard Cranium on with us. That's Rick Webb. You get it, Richard Cranium. I told you, double entendres everywhere, Jeff. I'm all about that. We are joined today by Jeff and Kevin of the Pick Podcast or the Pick Cast. Gentlemen, say hello.
Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
You're allowed to talk, Kevin. I know he was mean to you earlier. I know
it's okay. Jeff
was abusive. Don't wink twice if you're in danger.
I will. You will have no doubt.
So, gents, we were just talking about this. You've been on a little bit of a hiatus. How many shows have you guys done total so far?
23 episodes.
Yep. Yeah. Since the beginning of 2020.
Or maybe 24.
Nice.
One of those two.
Yeah.
hey, you broke the number 10 for podcasts. It's like you got to get past 10 to be like a real podcast. So nice job.
I think when that happened, Kevin asked if we should have a cake, and I said, "We'll wait for episode 100." And he almost fainted.
Yeah,
cake is always important. Mm-hmm. There's always a good time for cake. There's never a wrong time for cake.
All right.
So I'm all about that. So the other side to it is I think your guys' show kind of says it all. It's the Pickcast. It's all about top 10 list and top 100. And currently, you're doing what's the current list?
The big list we're working on and in the middle of right now, the smack in the middle of, is the Pick 100, which is our favorite 100 albums of all time. So we each have 100 favorites, and we're revealing them 10 at a time. And we've done 5 of those, so we've gotten to number 51. And coming very soon, hopefully about a week and a half or so, we'll be going into the top 50.
Or Kevin. So. Emphasis on the or so. So our pace.
Yeah, I leave myself open if I decide to take a few too many naps. Yeah.
Like there's some great like it's one of those ones. Like I'm looking over, I've got the list of the top 50. Ha ha! You'll have to go back and listen to all the other episodes, there, folks, if you want to see the list. I've got the written list.
Yeah,
there it is, and there's the Podfather letting us know. and right now, Lance Dockin. Wants the top 10. He wants the top 10 already. He's going ahead and skipping numbers 49 right on through. But I'm looking at it, and
many advertisers won't like that. So we
can
do that.
Yeah.
Like due to contractual obligations with our advertisers.
We can't
possibly reveal that.
I've had friends ask me, you know, like in person, I really want to know what are your top 3 or 4, and you'll have to wait.
Right. And plus, today is sweeps month too, so we gotta
save all that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like some of these I'm looking over, and I'll be honest, like you could put any one of these in a top 10. Like there's nothing on here. I'm going through it. Short of Jeff, you please, I'm gonna ask now.
All right.
Because I got to know this one.
Yeah, I want to be picked apart. Go ahead.
No, I'm not even picking you apart. Yeah. I just want to know how Sinead O'Connor made it in the top anything.
Oh, come on. That's a very good album. That's an awesome album. She's crazy now, but that was 1990.
She was crazy then. Can we talk about the Saturday Night Live appearance?
Maybe. Oh, no, that was years after that album that she did that SNL thing. Yeah. No, but I think that's really one of my favorites. Obviously, it's on my list.
Right, you know.
This is a method of Jeff's madness, I think, is he's strategically trying to find these, you know, cajoling and controversial kinds of picks to stimulate responses just like yours, Sean.
I don't think it's controversial, though. It's a great album.
This gets to the heart of why we're doing it, I think, too. There's a conversation starter at almost every spot.
Yes, and for those listening, the album is I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got. It includes the huge hit Nothing Compares to You. But if you listen to the whole album through, it's really fantastic. And I, you know what? I didn't really care for her follow-ups and anything else she did. So.
Ken says, Ken hit both of them right there.
Yeah.
Nothing Compares to You and Oh, That's Water Under the Bridge. He hit both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's two reasons to listen. Well, and yeah, the other thing I was going to point out, Sean, it's easy to hear about something like this and think, oh, this is we're trying to rank the best. That's not what this is. Yeah. We had discussions on the podcast throughout about, you know, boy, this record really it seems odd or foolish that something like, you know, Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan isn't anywhere on these either lists. Yeah. And so a bit of a spoiler there. It's not on either list.
Yeah. Right? So, we've talked about that because I said in the first episode of this, it's like kind of a matter of happenstance. I happened to listen to Sammy Hagar a lot when I was a kid, and I never listened to Bob Dylan. Now, Sammy Hagar, also a spoiler, not on my list, but I was a big fan in high school, I have to admit. But yeah, so it's just the albums that either resonated with us when we were younger or when they do now, and then ranking them is a trick of figuring out, okay, was it a big deal that I like ZZ Top in high school much more than I do now? Mm-hmm. and so forth. So yeah, it's definitely not the best. We're not music critics. We kind of are now, I guess, but we're not coming from the critical praise world where, you know, Sergeant Pepper has to be number one or something like that.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's not one of those deals where you, and I saw the question here in the chat, do we scratch them out or, you know, do we put any in, argue with it and scratch them out? That's a good question. The lists are prepared, you know, in sections of 10, for each episode that we are going to record. So I don't know about you, Jeff. I pretty much have the rest of mine done. So I won't really do a lot of changing as we get this last four groups recorded, but in the beginning, there was a little bit of shuffling around. Like I would send him, oh, this is my next 10. And then I'd after listening to all that stuff for a week in preparation, I might go, yeah, let me just change that a little bit. I might, you know, tweak it here or there.
Yeah.
I can't remember Jeff's number, but I had roughly 100 to 150 albums on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So started out with a really big group, and you know, I think at some point we'll have a kind of a fun discussion about everything that didn't make it. You know?
Yeah, we basically don't reveal our picks until like a week before we record the episode, so we don't know. I don't know what Kevin's top 50 are.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we will only reveal the numbers 50 through 41 to each other right after the previous episode airs. So it's just kind of like we reveal a little at a time,
right.
And that way, and we're going to actually, when we get to the end, we're going to throw out the albums in our top 10 and say, okay, you have to try to guess what my order is on these. And we're going to guess each other's order before the episode. And then the episode will reveal what our order is to each other as well. It's kind of fun to do that. That way, I mean, I generally know Kevin, you know, he's like a huge fan of The Police and U2.
Yes, so I
know those albums will be in the top. And he knows that, you know, I'm a bigger fan of AC/DC than he is. So Back in Black will be higher on my list than his.
I've seen a lot of concerts in my life. A lot. Like, yeah. I grew up in Baltimore. We used to go to Merriweather Post Pavilion was what it was called. It's called something else now. It's got a new name. But I will tell you, here in Albany, I saw AC/DC back in like 2011 timeframe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, by far, and I've seen like Sepultura, I've seen Helmet, I've seen the Beach Boys. I've seen wow. Julian Lennon. I mean, I've seen people that like you would be like, this doesn't match up. There is no better showmanship in a concert by far than AC/DC. Like it will change. Like it will make the only one I ever saw that was close was the band Gaslight Anthem.
Wow.
And the reason I say Gaslight Anthem was close, not from a pure showmanship standpoint, but it had that feel. Have you ever seen – what was the movie – because I love movies. And now I'm going to forget the name of it.
We do too.
Where he goes missing. The lead singer goes missing for all the years and then he comes back.
Oh, Eddie and the Cruisers?
Eddie and the Cruisers. It has a pure – going to see Gaslight Anthem is like watching Eddie and the Cruisers. It's that kind of vibe. Like I'm getting chills talking about it. Like I really am. Like
I know what you mean.
Nice.
That or the Telemardu. It's one or the other.
Wow.
It's just such a pure, true rock show. Jeanette is super fan, just so you know. She says, YouTube live at Red Rock, Under a Blood Red Sky, Rattle and Hum, and... what is that?
Octane Baby
yeah. would be in her top 100.
Sure.
I was looking over some of what you got. I have to say, Kevin, I probably lean towards your list a little more. Nothing personal. No. Or I should say, Jeff, I lean towards your list, not sure. Kevin. I had the names on your back.
Just went from the
shit in your hat, didn't I?
Yeah.
Let me go ahead. Shit right all over.
Just when Kevin thought he was going to get one on me.
I started standing up straighter.
I win again.
I will tell you, like
I'll get my revenge.
I can see the Justin Timberlake, but
yeah,
I like the Tuxedo album. I would put Justin Timberlake on there, but I would put the Tuxedo album one there because I think that's just an amazing album. But Ghost in the Machine, phenomenal. Like I'm just going through, folks. You gotta get a chance. You check out these lists. There's just such great stuff on here. I mean, any one of these for 9 out of 10 people, I think would be in their top 10. Mm-hmm. They're eclectic also because here's Fiona Apple. And then jumping right up an REM Document to Tool Undertow. And I'm skipping a lot. I actually have, and you'll like this, Jeff. I actually have on CD, bought it in like 90 something. Nirvana In Utero's demo CD.
Wow. Nice.
And it's got songs that were never released, like their version of a song called Marijuana.
Yeah.
That's on there. Since you're in Colorado, I figured we'd throw that out there.
Now is that multiple disc set they released in that box, Nirvana? They had a whole bunch of unreleased demos and stuff on that.
So it might be on there, but this was purchased. See, this is back when like you had to go get CDs and stuff like that. There used to be a
we remember.
Yeah. There was a shop in Baltimore. There was one called Soundgarden and there was Record and Tape Trader. It wasn't either one of those. I can't think of the name of it, but like you could go in there and find like underground cuts that somebody had made and shipped out and like were never supposed to be released. Whole B-side albums that were never supposed to, like they were that kind of place.
Bootleg specials, right?
Yeah. Like they had them everywhere. And it was like, it was a known thing. Lance says he's more of a Kevin.
Well, it's, you know, equity. It is the era of equity. So good. Thank you.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
Props to you, Lance. Rock on, man.
Well, there's a thing you'd hear in the show too, that Kevin kind of checked out a bit in the 90s as far as music goes. That's probably one of my biggest decades of music exploration when I kind of went from being more classic rock bass and into a little more diversity with electronic music and so forth. And Kevin, he was just, you know, married and having a good old time.
I was just going to point out that's two important factors. Wait, there. One married, you, one Kevin? Single.
yeah, I was single.
Okay. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like,
I got the same gray. I'm more skunky. Right.
Yeah,
I'm more skunky.
COVID beard. Right.
Well, I was going to age myself to tell you I saw ACDC in 1984. That's what I saw.
Yeah, you got me there.
Flick of the switch tour.
You got me there. Like, I'm 44, so yeah. you got me there on both of those. But I can remember. See, music. I joke around all the time. I have friends that like. I have a good buddy of mine who was in a Nine Inch Nail cover band.
Wow.
That. Not just like, oh, we played Nine Inch Nails songs. No, they got paid real money toward the whole nine yards, were legit. Like these ones that you hear that do like these real cover bands. Like sure. They were one of those, but for Nine Inch Nails. And I tell him all the time, I'm lucky I can play the radio. I have zero musical ability, none.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
But I love music. And I can here's a good one for you. So I can remember when Smells Like Teen Spirit came out. I remember it very fondly. What we have Lance and Hans Dokken?
Yes, friends. They're actually friends of mine.
Okay. Once we want to talk to you about the music and once we are listening to it today, Hans and Lance Dokken. Guitar, dance.
I'm sure they never get that.
Never, not at all. Hey, look, that's never. A great thing. It's my show. But I can still remember going into school and the guy who sat next to me, I want to say it was Matt, and he was real tall and he played trombone. So he always had the red ring from being in the band, like his lips being chapped. Mm-hmm. And he was a big dude, like super big dude. And I remember being like, dude, have you heard this new band? I don't know who they are, but I think it's – and this is the God's honest truth. I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit, and I thought it was a war protest song because when he says no denial, I thought he was saying the bloody Nile.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And I'm like, it's a war protest song. Like, we're going to be like hippies and shit now.
See, now there's a great show segment probably of some of the most hilarious – like made up lyrics in the history of popular songs where you just, you know, you put all kind of, you fill in the blanks on your own. You know, oh, I thought it was, you know.
Oh yeah. I remember
like Rocket Man.
You know, I remember where, I typing up the lyrics to Grand Illusion by Styx when I was in junior high because they didn't have the lyrics on the album sleeve.
On the inside of the
I just had the most ridiculous lyrics that I thought he was singing in Grand Illusion. And sometimes when I hear the song, I still think of those ridiculous lyrics now that I can understand them perfectly. But yeah.
Well, see, to this day, I have no idea what Freddie Mercury is saying in the middle of Another One Bites the Dust, where he says something like, bada da, bada bate. And I always thought it was not adopted, you know, back in the day. I thought he said not adopted.
So that's what it sounded like. Yeah.
There you go. Well done.
Oh, that's so great. I mean, and there's all these things about, but there are some really like ones that have just become outlandish. There's always the urban legend, and I say it's an urban legend. I don't know if it's true or not, is Anagata Devita.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Right.
Was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. but he was so high, he couldn't say it.
Yeah.
Or what, you know, what's the end of Strawberry Fields? Does he say cranberry sauce or I'm very bored? Or once upon a time, they thought that little snippet said, I buried Paul because there's this whole conspiracy that McCartney had died back in the day. And that's why he was facing backwards on Sergeant Pepper because, you know, he actually was dead.
Oh, Well, Kristen thinks we're all looking old. Kristen, I'm not that old. I just, I'm like a fine wine. I've just aged well. And Jeanette's always laughing at me. And then we have Lance. Well, they're sort of Lance. I don't.
Look, Kristen's our AARP sponsor. So if you
I'm looking at full like, trying to figure out if Lance's picture is like a gremlin. Like after midnight.
We all got the gray beards, but only Kevin's rocking the young guy hairdo, huh?
Yeah, look at you, like with your pompadour shit.
Yeah, I know.
It is graying though, so too bad.
There's a lot of time spent in the morning on that thing. So.
Look at that. That's I think like I said, 20 years in the Marine Corps. I wouldn't know what to do if I grew my hair out. I said something to my wife the other day. We were watching some show. We're really into The Nevers. Have you watched The Nevers yet?
I haven't started that one yet.
First episode only.
Yep. Oh, so good.
Looks
like
pretty cool, yeah.
It is. It's HBO, right in my
wheel. You can't go wrong.
It's so right in my wheelhouse. It's very like we like. There's a couple of them out there. I will tell you, we could do like we'll do the we're gonna do the what is it
crack vet track.
I almost said crackhead track. we're gonna do crackhead track.
That's a future list for us.
We're gonna get crackheads to sing songs. Crackhead
songs, yes.
We're gonna get crackheads to sing songs and see what they sound like.
Yeah, I'm sure if you YouTube it, you know.
You know, I gotta say, like a lot of this conversation so far is exactly why Kevin and I started the podcast, because we would get in these conversations at barbecues or parties or whatever, just kind of arguing and or talking about music or movies, and one of us would say something like, "Wait a sec, you think that movie was better than this?" And we would start arguing, and one of my friends said, "You guys should do a podcast." And I was like,
oh. "Yeah."
Do you have a favorite B movie? Like, do you have a favorite like? Up All Night with Rhonda, like Rhonda After Dark movie. And I'm talking like you have Moving Violation.
Oh, wow. Any,
man, you're getting a little beyond my stratosphere there.
Oh, I actually
favorite B movie. Wow.
I actually had a guy on, and I can't think of his name right now. It was early on because this is episode 51 for us.
Okay.
And I can't think of his name. I'm having such a brain fart. But he actually worked for Tromia Films.
Troma.
Okay. He worked for Troma before James Gunn is who replaced him.
Oh, okay.
From Guardians.
Right. Yeah. And we were talking, and he actually was the one that brokered the deal with USA to have Troma on there with Toxic Avenger and all that.
Hmm.
Very cool guy. But do you have a like?
I was going to say, Jeff, do you have an answer? I'm actually looking one up that I think might qualify here. So, Jeff, you answer first.
It's so hard for me when they get faced with these questions out of the blue without thinking about it through. Because I don't want to give a wrong answer. You know?
There is no wrong answer. It's yours.
I've recently gotten more into horror movies, so I've been watching some of like Repo Man. I haven't seen
that.
I haven't seen that in so many years. Well, yeah, I don't know what qualifies as a B movie.
Well, see, I think anything that they put on with commercials at night, whether it had a budget or not, that shit's a B movie.
Okay. Well, Jeff, you think about it. I'll throw out this one just because for some reason, every once in a while, I just have these odd. Like childhood flashbacks of something I've seen on TV. And there's an ABC movie of the week from 1978 called The Bermuda Depths. Oh, yeah. And have you seen that, Jeff?
No, you talked about it on our show.
And so, I mean, this is the best I could give you on a B movie answer is there's this really goofy movie called The Bermuda Depths. And I remember watching it by myself some Saturday night when I was probably, I was 10 years old. And, the big giveaway at the end is there's this giant turtle that's like pulling ships down under the water. And that's the whole secret of the Bermuda Triangle. But I'll never forget the picture of the closing scene where the turtle is swimming away and he's behind him is trailing some guy who he knocked over in a fishing boat, and it turned out to be Carl Weathers. So this is the great highlight of Carl Weathers pre-Rocky career was the 19. Well, I guess that's not true because he was in Rocky in 76. So he went on to the great achievement that is the Bermuda.
If we're going this low, I can say that Sleepaway Camp, which I only saw last year from the 80s, is an absolutely insane horror movie, especially because of the ending. You just can't believe it. But yeah, I can throw that one out there. If we're talking real B, which I think these are like C or D or E.
Right.
Was Connie Selica in that turtle movie? How about
yes, she was.
Connie Selica? Yeah, that's why I think that's why she came up.
the whole conversation reminded me of it's got to be a B movie that we used to joke about in college called Chud. Remember that?
Yes. Oh,
sure. Yeah.
Chud is a classic.
Yeah. And I see
Chud is so great.
Karen is saying Death Race 2000, which is also a classic. That is definitely one of my favorites.
Have you seen the remake?
Well, the remakes of Death Race don't even follow the same theme.
Stallone's in the original.
Yes, Stallone was, before he was famous, was one of the racers. So was David Carradine was in it.
How about Ice Pirates?
That's mine,
Ice Pirates. And there's another one, and I thought Matt Dillon was in it. I had to take a quick look. And it was one of the, and you reminded me of it when you said, that the Kevin, when you were talking about like Saturday after school movies.
Yeah, this was like, I mean, ABC had like a movie of the week.
There was one, and God, I'll describe the entire friggin' movie and not remember the name of it. One of you has seen it because we're all in that same wheelhouse. But it was a movie about like these kids that moved to this very suburban town, didn't have anything, no place to hang out. So they started like partying, and the big scene at the end of, spoiler alert for a movie that's almost 30 freaking years, almost 40 years old. At the end of the movie, all the kids, the parents are in the auditorium of the school to talk about how to
over the edge. Over the Edge. I love that movie.
And they lock them in the school.
Yeah.
And they're like, climbing all over the building.
A bunch of juvenile delinquents, and they don't like their parents and everything. And they lock their parents in the school and try to burn it down.
Isn't that Matt Dillon in that? Yes.
I don't remember if Matt Dillon was in it. There was some kid that I think also starred in My Bodyguard, was one of the lead kids.
Oh, that's Chris Makepeace.
Wow. Nope. There you go.
Yeah.
I think he may have been in that, but I'm not. So sure.
I say
so sure.
Over the Edge. Over the Edge. No, that is Matt Dillon. I wasn't wrong. Okay. It is Matt Dillon.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay. Because Matt Dillon was in My Bodyguard too.
Yeah, because I was about to say Matt Dillon's in that.
You
watched that
when you were younger, Over the Edge?
I probably did. It sounds, especially if those two actors are in it.
It had like, it was on like HBO back when HBO was the only premium channel. And And so I was, I don't know how old I was in my junior high years, and I just would watch it over and over again because they didn't have any shows, didn't have any movies.
And you thought you could be, I'm going to be a delinquent like that. And then you realize, my parents will whoop my ass.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that shit. So we know how you guys kind of like hanging out with friends and everything. So out of curiosity, so how did you guys even meet? Like right now, you're in Colorado, you're in Oregon, very close to my favorite original microbrew.
Well, to be clear, I'm only visiting Colorado. I'm actually in my parents' basement right now, which oddly enough is where people think I always am. but we both live in Portland, Oregon, and that's I lived and worked in Los Angeles in the entertainment industry for 25 years. And Kevin and I met in college, and we went to school for radio and television at Washington State University.
Explains the voice.
Cougars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're all about that. Fear the Turtle.
Is he talking about the movie
Fear the Turtle. That's the Maryland Terrapins. Fear the Turtle.
Oh, I did not know that. Actually,
there is another college outside of Washington. I listened to you talking to Kelsey, which I had to look her up. I was like, let me go see. Oh, she's really pretty.
Yeah, she went to our college too, and that's how I know her. But Washington State University has pretty good. That's where Edward R. Murrow went, and we have a school there named after him now for communications. And so we both met at the college radio rock and roll station.
Yeah,
and we were DJs together there.
Where you're spinning the disc and getting everybody up out of their seats. That's right. You got to be able to groove it out, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it happen.
Do you remember the 80s?
You immediately go into DJ voice.
Do you remember the 80s band GTR, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. You know what that stands for? Guitar. Did you know that?
GTR. Yeah, it makes sense. I would have said, yeah.
Anyway, that was one of my fine DJ sets.
That was a stop set on the old air check
thing. Kevin and I still make fun of me because I was stumbling through my first year of midnight to 6 a.m. trying to be a DJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I
thought I would give that factoid to the audience, and it was just riveting.
Right. The phone lines just went nuts.
Look at this. Everyone knows now. I'm a genius.
They should have given you cards or something back then, you know, at least.
But I can say after that, Kevin went into sports broadcasting, and I went down to LA to be in entertainment industry. And
well, define entertainment industry. Were you a stripper? What were you doing?
Isn't it obvious?
Ladies and gentlemen, get your money together. Coming to the stage. Here he is.
I prefer to call it exotic dancing.
Okay.
Yes. No, I worked in the FX channel and the E channel. In promotions and later production. And Kevin worked for in sports broadcasting for years, and now he works for the government. Who knows?
No one can know he does.
They got a hold of me and they didn't let go. So, yeah.
Well, we're famous. You know, it's funny joking around about exotic dancers. The Albany area actually made national news for exotic dancers. Did you know that?
Ooh. It couldn't possibly eclipse Portland as most strip clubs per capita, though.
Yeah. Oh, we Portland was supporting us, though, I guarantee. Because we have a
club. Was there a pipeline?
Here. Yeah. We have a club here that I have never been in. Never. I've beyond that point in my life. Right, I have the internet.
You wouldn't know anything about that.
And I can tell you that it's bigger than about three cars deep. But they made national news because they made it all the way to the Supreme Court trying to become tax exempt.
Oh.
Because they said
– education purposes?
No, if ballerinas and other forms of dance are considered as
protected speech?
Right, protected and this is dance and this, that, and the other, then what these girls are doing on the stage is performance art. Also – art. That was it. It's art. Performance art. Then we shouldn't have to pay taxes either. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And I kid you not, it's like this ugly – oh, they lost.
Okay.
Like, Uncle Sam was like, no. Your boobies are not performance art. No.
I support strip clubs, but I kind of agree with that decision.
Well, my grandfather and my grandmother lived in Florida. Completely sidebar. As we're moving on to our favorite strip clubs now.
Listen, just for the audience, this was not a prepared segment, just so you know.
Well, they all know I make hard left turns on a very regular basis. It's all about the hard left turn here.
I like it.
So I remember my grandfather telling me this story. My grandmother and my grandfather lived in Florida, and they owned a pasty bar. Do you know what a pasty bar is?
Yeah, well, they wear pasties.
Wear pasties over top of their nipples.
No complete nudity.
Right. It wasn't a completely nude place, and it wasn't legal at the time.
Yeah.
Mm. And now I don't know if this story is true. This is my grandfather who, you know, plate in his head, Second World War, great guy, loved him to death. But I also remember him. I was in the Marine Corps, and I'm sitting on the front porch with my grandmother. I had come down to visit them one weekend, and I hear a gun going off, and I'm like, what the – and I see my grandfather coming around the corner chasing an armadillo with a .22 pistol.
Yikes.
So he was a little special.
Well, it happened, you know.
That's a good strip joint story.
Residual effects.
No, the better part was I remember my grandmother, him telling me there was some woman at a different bar had gone completely topless in Florida.
Oh.
And it was
what year
like,
was this?
Sometime in between Moses and Jesus. They were old. Okay.
All right.
And he was like, it went all the way to the courts. And his story was that the woman, the judge said to the woman, well, what did you do? And she began to take her clothes off in the courtroom. Mm. And at that point, the judge threw the entire case out and women could do this now. Mm. When I was like, are you serious, Pop? Well, where's this strip club at? He said, the minute that became legal in Florida, your grandmother made me sell it the next week. My grandmother wasn't having that. She was like, oh, no, not today. So you were at E. You're in the government now. So you're making all kinds of other lists. So I'm getting bugged right now.
Sure. Yeah.
This is such – God, data I thought is I was safe in my basement with my tin hat.
Yeah. Oh, no. If you have an account with a major telecommunications provider, we've got you. So,
like, I try to explain that to people all the time. Like, you do know there's no getting like the minute
there's no secrets.
Like, I've watched the new Equalizer. There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, Enemy of the State should be standard viewing for anybody. Yeah, really, they put that in like civics classes.
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, so off the grid.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. Copper mesh. Yeah, right. That's all it takes. Copper mesh.
It's everything. Like, well, you know, you try to explain that to people. It's like, you can't. Like, there's nothing you can do about this. And they're like, no, I don't put anything on social media. Just because I can't find you don't mean shit.
Right.
There's
a
thing called a private investigator. He's been finding people forever. I watch them movies.
Yeah. Well, think about the cost of those cameras that are hovering miles and miles above us, too. And
I don't think
taking pictures of us.
The state of Oregon has much into surveillance of American citizens, do they, Kevin?
Oh, I don't know about that. If you've ever been down to Malheur County where they're trying to overthrow Bureau of Land Management facilities and And, yeah. you know, the Idaho legislature has a bill in front of it right now to take, what, 2/3 of Eastern Oregon and make it Idaho.
So. Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just like they don't want to be part of our liberal Portland. And liberal
it's the classic urban-rural divide.
Yeah,
I got to ask that. So is Portland really that weird?
It's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff has a better perspective. I grew up in Portland, so I don't know. He lived in Los Angeles. I think that's a good measuring stick. It's someone who lived in Los Angeles for 20 years and then looking at a place like Portland.
Yeah, well, Portland like wears its weird on its sleeve. I mean, you have stickers and bumper stickers everywhere saying "Keep Portland Weird," and it's just because they have quirky restaurants and naked bike ride once a year. So you know, I mean, that's weirder than Los Angeles, I guess, in some ways. But I've been to some pretty weird places in LA too.
Yeah, LA wins.
It's more compressed. I think that's maybe why it's
compressed the weirdness.
Yes, it's just literally consolidated weird. Lots of weird in a small area. So because it's really small town, big city. You know, compared to its neighbors on the coast. I mean, San Francisco, Seattle, LA, very very different. You know, much bigger.
It's like where everybody from those weirds just kind of shook out and ended up in Portland.
Yeah.
I think weird is more woven into the fabric of those cities. And so it's so new in Portland that I think it just became this almost like a brand or a slogan, you know, a way of furthering the identity of the city.
Lance said, yes, nuts live there.
Yeah.
They live in a 4-square block area of downtown.
Lance, if you ever get a chance
there.
Yeah.
You come on out here to the right coast and I'll take you on down to Penn Station where it smells like hot bum piss every day. And you can watch grown folk have conversations with imaginary people screaming and hollering at themselves.
Oh, we have that in Portland too.
A little bit more. Yeah. Just again, smaller scale, more compressed. Yeah,
New York City is zombie land now. Like it's as somebody who's been going down there for years and you would go down and it was, you know, for lack of better, it was asshole to elbow. Everybody just kind of trying to get around to all of a sudden it is, you look down a hallway and you're like, there's someone down there that's going to eat me. I see that. And it sounds like it too. It looks like an episode of Walking Dead every day down there. Since like COVID has changed that animal completely.
Yeah. You said you're in Albany, right, Sean?
Yes.
Okay, so how many hours away from the city is that? From
2.5. Okay. Well, see, that's funny you say that. So this is like there's a t-shirt that it's the state of New York. And being on the left coast, that is completely makes sense. I grew up in Baltimore. I had no idea what the things are here. And then there's a t-shirt and it looks like the entire state is New York City.
Yeah.
And then like all the other spots are like moments away from it. People don't realize. Syracuse is 5 hours from the city. Like Rochester and Niagara Falls, that's 8 hours to New York City from those locations. Like they're nowhere near where it is.
Well, yeah, and the city's in the very bottom corner.
Right. It's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. You're right.
You know, it's so far down. It's a pretty amazing I will tell you, anybody who's never been, for the jokes I make about it, it is a pretty amazing place. Yeah. To go and check out if you've never checked it out. It's like, I actually got to watch at the 4040 Club, which is Jay-Z's old club, if he still even owns it. I have no idea.
Mm.
But I got to go to the 4040 Club and eat fried deviled eggs and watch a boxing fight. And it was the first time that I had ever dealt with bottle service. Have you guys ever done bottle service before?
Yeah, in LA, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
See,
I'm a rube, I don't know.
Somebody's a little bougie, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, when someone else was paying, it costs like $300 to have girls bring out three bottles of Cristal and with sparklers in them.
Yeah, like this was one of those, like, my buddy was like, we'll just get a bottle of liquor. And I'm like, okay. And the girl's like, $95. I'm like, that shit's $15. Like, nope. So,
well, I guess it's fortuitous then that I wore this.
Oh, t-shirt. God, that's garbage ass t-shirt.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, garbage.
When we go to Mariners games in Seattle, Kevin's the one of the few Yankees fans. Well, actually, there's
several
Yankees
fans there. Yeah, there's
hundreds. Yeah, but we go to see the Yankees play the Mariners in Seattle, and Kevin's got the Yankees fan. He's the Yankees fan with the rest of us. being Mariners fans.
Well, Ken Griffey Jr., first person to hit the wall at Camden Yard.
Oh, is that right?
Nice. Yeah, if you look in the right field, it was 1994 All-Star Game. He's got a plaque on the wall. He was the first person to hit a home run that far enough to hit the wall in right field. It's a warehouse. It's like 420 something.
So that's your team?
Oh, I'm an O's fan through and through.
Yep. Nice. Very nice.
Like I'm that guy that when we were in first place at the beginning of the season and it was only five games in, I was
2 weeks
like,
ago on April 5th.
Like, end everything. It's over. It's over. As a buddy of mine who's a big Boston fan was like, you do understand Boston may look bad. They're going to crush. And I looked the other day and they're like 10 and 14.
Yeah.
So
they're still rebuilding. So, hey, hard stop for me at top of the hour. So if we're going to do this game, we probably
I think we got time. But we do you want to do that now, Sean? Or?
But because I don't want Kevin to.
Plus, I just finished my beer, so it'll be more fun that way.
You're long in the fridge.
I'm too far from the fridge, so it's going to have to be a one beer.
So this is where hopefully your wife is listening, and you're supposed to go, man, I wish I had another beer right now. Sometimes mine listens, and I'm like, I'm out of ice.
I think both of our wives are like, this is just a ridiculous folly that we're involved in here, and they don't listen to us at all.
Oh, there's that time consuming hobby again.
Oh yeah, your podcast.
Oh, it's that again. Oh, look, I guess I got lucky with mine. Mine was actually the one who bought me all my equipment and was like, you really need to do a podcast. And I'm like, well, I do, don't I? Or
should I do? Oh, yes, I do. Absolutely right. Yes, I do.
I need to speak into the
ether. You are correct.
Absolutely. Yes. So let's do this game show here. Again, it's crackhead singing.
Crack that track.
Crack that track. Does it have a theme song?
Tracks that
crack. No, it has like it has eight songs. I'm gonna
all right, hold on. Here. Crack that track.
Okay. Right. That works. Yeah. I mean, our fans do love it. So
I predict that after this, within 2 to 3 weeks of us doing this show, Jeff will have a sound effects machine for the PitCast.
Oh, hey, you gotta get Zoom.
I got it under control already. You know that.
All right.
Zoom audio. Like I got to thank the Podfather because I was going to buy like this $500 machine. It had like 32 sound effects, 8 different mics that you could hook up, all this stuff. I was like, yeah. And the Podfather's like, you do. And Herb's got all this stuff. We call him the Podfather. He's been doing it 12 years.
Nice.
And he's like, Murph, you do it out of your basement.
I can tell you the reason we came up with this, this game that we do on the show is that Kevin has a freakish knowledge of 80s, especially 80s, but also 70s and some 90s pop music. He used to like listen to Casey Kasem and then later Rick Dees, like the top 40, American top 40. And he would actually like track each week's top 40 list on his wall. And
he would on paper, then on the wall.
He'd have all these things on the wall, and he like I could play like three or four seconds of a top 40 hit from the 70s or 80s, and he just gets it right away. So we do that show just him and I sometimes, and I randomly pick different songs, but then we also do it again with guests that we have on our show, and now we're guests on your show.
Please, I want to do this because I'm going to lose so miserably.
Okay, well, I asked you earlier which genres you like, and you kind of said 80s, 90s, you know, whatever. I like everything from Cypress Hill to I can't remember what other band you said.
Nirvana, Cypress Hill,
Nirvana. Yeah, Nirvana. Okay,
I'm in that wheelhouse. I'm in that wheelhouse.
So what I did was I just for you guys, I got 8 songs lined up. And what we're going to do is I picked randomly the songs from the top rock lists. So rock, not like, so we're not going to have any disco or like straight out pop. These are rock songs, or at least qualified for a rock list from 1980 to 1999. And this is the top 100 songs of each year. So I randomly picked out of those.
Ooh. Top this is going to be tricky. Area.
And I got to say, I think both of you will know some of these, and I'm thinking that neither of you will know a couple of them. So
So quick note about that. Those rock lists have a lot more obscure tracks on them. So
Sometimes.
Yeah. These are the year-end lists, right?
Yeah.
So at least they had some chart.
you know, it comes from a website I've neither verified nor researched. And it has these lists and does not explain how they were tabulated. So.
Right. So it's like billskickasslist.com.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, these are my favorites. Okay. But anyway. So,
okay.
So let's do
My wife to this song.
Let's do it. Yeah. To make sure everyone can hear. We'll just do a little test here. And, you know, can you hear that all right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I can.
Okay. Do you know the song?
Not yet.
Seven Nation Army, but it is Jack Black. Or, Jack
White. White Stripes.
Oh, it is the White Stripes.
Okay. Yeah. Hardest Button to Button.
Oh, man.
The Hardest Button to Button, which is probably my favorite song on that album. But that's also from 2004 or something, so it doesn't count.
Hey, all look, right. I got one. I knew the artist.
All right. That's so, half a point. So here's how it goes. As soon as you know it, just shout out the name of the song. You got to get the song and the artist. Those are the two that you got to get. If you get the album name or the year, bonus. That. So if you guys kind of tie, if you get the album name and the year, then you might win the tie.
This or nothing like that. I don't have to take my clothes off.
No.
Your
clothes can remain on.
No. Yeah. We have too much respect for our.
All right, so here we go with number one.
Kevin, that's Eddie Money. I Want to Go Back. I want to say that is 1987. I don't know the album.
He got it all.
But I saw him in concert.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, Kevin, just guess his biggest album and you'll get it. You don't remember
the biggest album? I should. It's the album that had Take Me Home Tonight.
I can't hold back. And this song actually was originally written and recorded by a band called the Billy Satellite.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's how many points is that? Three?
Oh, no, you got one.
Oh, I thought those other little auxiliary
things. No, those are like bonus, little tiebreakers. Okay, so
I see. You don't need the tiebreakers. Trust me, you're good.
All right. How you feeling, Sean? How you feeling? All right. That's pretty good. All right. I got to get one of those. All right. All right. Here's the next one.
Kevin, this is The Cure. And
Boys Don't Cry. Friday I'm in Love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it is Friday I'm in Love.
1989.
All right.
I would have said 90 or 91.
The album? Anyone?
It's not Boys Don't Cry because that's an earlier album. It's might even been called Friday or something like that.
Nah, it's from the album Wish in 1992. Wish.
All right.
Jeanette was on it. Look, Jeanette was on it as soon as she heard it. Friday I'm in Love.
Yeah, no, he got Cure, and then you got Friday I'm in Love. So
it's high five.
All right. Okay. So it's a draw.
So we'll stay with 1-0, Kevin. All right.
Okay.
All right. Here we go to the next one. Oh, sorry.
Man. Wow. This is a Lindsey Buckingham sound.
I was about to say, it sounds like an REM song. I'm going to kill myself. No idea.
This is one of those that I thought neither of you would get. Okay, so I'll give you hints. He was a lead singer of Haircut 100.
Who?
Oh, it's Nick Kershaw is the lead singer.
Nick Hayward.
Oh, Hayward. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, you're right. The song is called Kite. It was number 38 of the year in 1994.
You get all
holy
the points.
Shit.
You even no, said the name no Nick. No, you said the name Nick. I'll give you points for that because I wouldn't even have got that shit.
All right. Here's number five. Number four.
Okay.
I want to sing it to you, and I can't think of who it is. No. God.
This is Kings of Leon?
No, I've never heard of these guys.
Okay. No.
These guys are called the Screaming Cheetah Wheelies.
What?
That's the name of the group.
Jeanette at least knew. She said, I loved Haircut. Like,
oh, yeah. No, Haircut 100 was.
Haircut 100 was the last one. But
yeah, no, that was early MTV.
This is the Screaming Cheetah Wheelies with Boogie King. This is a band out of Nashville. This album, this song didn't even peak on the regular charts, but it made it on the mainstream rock charts. And it was used in the movie Bride of Chucky, which I would have expected.
Oh, absolutely. I'd have known that one. That's right there in my wheelhouse. All right.
So those were the two that I thought neither of you would get.
Okay. Right. So
all right. Now we're back into something easier. Are you ready?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you ready, Sean?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Sean, you look a little uncomfortable.
I've failure is an option today, I guess.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Kevin, this is Peter Gabriel, Big Time, from the album So, which was released in 1986.
Yep. Straight down the line.
So that's good. So,
yeah. It's peaked at number 8 on the charts. All right. That was a pretty
Peter
good
Gabriel's
one.
Original band?
Genesis.
Oh, yeah. We know that.
And the song that everybody thought he was having a moment.
Come on.
Sledgehammer or on In Your Eyes. Is that what you mean?
Well, In Your Eyes, I have a whole separate story. But the song that everybody – he sang that everybody thought he met God, but that wasn't what it was.
Shock the Monkey?
No. you're supposed to remember that. When he's like,
oh, was it Salisbury Hill or was it
the yep, Salisbury Hill. You know what that actually was about?
No.
It's climbing actually up about on him just – Climbing Up on Salisbury Hill was actually about him leaving Genesis.
Ah, okay.
Interesting.
Okay. It has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with God or anything. Because if you listen to it, it sounds like he saw God or something. But he said no, it had nothing to do with that. It was actually his decision at the time to leave Genesis as they were becoming successful.
All right. Okay. See, you know things that we don't, but Kevin gets to the damn thing so fast. You just can't do it.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go. Next one.
Kevin, it's the Stray Cats, Rock This Town, and I want to say 83? That was released in 83.
I was going to say 83.
Yeah. No.
Actually, you know, this is what's funny about this is that you go back and look at the records, and it says that Rock This Town was released before Stray Cat Strut, and so that would have been late 82, because Stray Cat Strut was early 83.
But no, I think what happened 81. Was we're they released 81.
It. Stray Cat, really, 81. Rock This Town was 81?
Yeah, there's 81, no and the album was Stray Cats, self-titled, and this one peaked at number 9.
I at least knew all that right. one.
Yeah, you knew it. You're just not as quick.
I'm not.
We apologize for
it's just, you know, it's just one of those things.
Pomposity, yeah. All right, two more. Ready?
That's Metallica. It's the Symphony album. Yeah, it's Metallica. The album was actually the. No, I can't remember the name of the song. It's. But I know it's Metallica, and I know it's the album they did with the San Francisco Philharmonic, and it's the actual name of the album is like BDSM or something like that, or it's
S&M, S&M, San Francisco Orchestra, and yep.
He also gets the point.
And it's called No Leaf Clover.
But I definitely, because as soon as you hear that opening, that very orchestra opening.
I've never been into Metallica. I like them. I respect them. But I've never been into them. I had no idea they did an album with San Francisco.
Oh, really? That's one of those albums I would highly recommend to listen to the whole thing.
It's like a double album, isn't it? It's super long.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Okay. And it's so good.
All right. Last one. Are you ready yet?
I'm ready.
Listening closely. All right. Hold on. Here we go.
Kevin, that's Duran Duran, Union of the Snake, and that was late 83, early 84. I actually don't know when this, I think this record, this particular record came out in late 83.
Oh. All right. He's correct.
Am I right?
Yes. And
Seven and the Ragged Tiger was
Seven and the Ragged Tiger, the name of the album. Yeah. Do you know what the song was originally titled?
Union of the Snake? I don't.
The union at stake.
At stake, as in STEAK.
I don't know. Maybe it was a labor protest song. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say.
Well, Jeanette appreciates you because she said there's some good Brits in there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, is Jeanette a Brit?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So she is originally from on the other side of the pond, has lived in Papua New Guinea, now somehow ended up in Albany. Someday we'll get that story.
And she's your super fan.
And she is my super fan. And, you know, if I didn't have she's also a great insurance agent. If you need insurance, please go see Jeanette. She'll get you insurance through AAA. That's my plug for Jeanette. Excellent. We love her.
I'm going to make a personal appeal to Jeanette to become a super fan of the pick now, because we don't really have a super fan other than my family members.
Right. That's true. Well, I think Lance is pretty close, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lance and Hans.
Yeah. Lance Dokken and Hans Dokken.
Yeah. Yeah. Lance tracked a lot of, he invested a lot of his living hours in listening to the podcast. I got to give him that. Okay. And there's so many things to do out there.
Yeah, one thing we should mention, Sean, too, is that the part of the Pick 100 that we do in each episode is we actually play listeners who have called in to the pick line.
Oh, you have a line, too.
We have a line, and they've called in to tell us their favorite albums as well. And
you should drop that a call, because I'm thinking, Sean, your list is going to be like, you know, all over the map.
Oh, my look, there's like, I'm going to go like with the Chronic. Mm-hmm. Is going to be on there because, sure. Like, yeah. That was an amazing album. Like there's certain ones. Like for me, I would tell you if I was just thinking in that time, I'm odd because Breakfast in America is on my list.
Supertramp, wow.
Supertramp, Breakfast in America.
One of the first records I ever bought.
That one was a huge, huge album for me. I would then probably go to the Chronic again, another album that kind of changed the game of how I was listening to music.
That's cool.
Nirvana, again, another one. Metallica, God, what was the name of the album? And it wasn't Ride the Lightning. It wasn't
Master of Puppets.
It was Master of Puppets. Thank you. Yeah. Again, another album. I just think about like in my top, like what, like did they change things for how I listened to them?
Yeah. Right.
And then like
game changers. Yeah.
And then I think about on the other side of it, Al Green and Marvin Gaye. I love their music. When I started to realize that my friends were great, but my female friends were better, like
the whole world of R&B just opened up.
Like, it was like, wait a sec, I just played this song. And you want to talk to me now?
Right, there you go.
How did that shit work? Right. What did he say?
Yeah, I love that. What do you mean, let's get it on? I love hearing your list because it's diverse and it's just a way, just how music affects us. Because I like to go from AC/DC to Madonna.
Sinead O'Connor.
To Groove Armada, which is a electronic duo from England that I've loved for the last 20 years. There's just diversity. Is one of the funnest things about music, I think. If you just get stuck in a rut and listen to classic rock all day, all the time, how many times you got to hear, you know, Toys in the Attic by Aerosmith?
Like, see, I'll tell you right now, one of my favorites.
Side two of Led Zeppelin 4, man.
Which does not have Cashmere on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though that's what they played in the movie. That's what they played in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Wrong, Cashmere is not side two.
Yeah, just throw Misty Mountain Hop right at that point. You know, that is side two of Led Zeppelin.
Do you know what we're talking about, Sean? What,
the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yeah, yes. He says like the Damone, the guy that's giving the best in love advice. He says when you're on the date, play side two of Led Zeppelin 4.
And then it comes to making out.
Yeah, when it comes to making out.
I didn't know that scene.
And he's driving in the car, and they're hearing Cashmere. Which is on Physical Graffiti. And I get Cashmere. It's like you have to build up, you know. It's
done. Right. When the levee breaks, would have worked.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anyway.
So at my first wedding.
Cameron Crowe, what are you doing? Come on.
What was your
first wedding?
Yeah, I've been married three times. That's a whole nother thing, too. Look, I can have my list of weddings.
You finally found a wife that accepts you as a podcaster.
That's it. We actually played In Your Eyes, and we played Led Zeppelin. Is it Misty Mountain? If the mountains would crumble to the sea, I would still be loving you. The hell's the name of that song?
Is that the Lemon song?
No, it's not the Lemon song.
If the mountain,
sing it.
It's a slow one.
Look, we could all sing it. If the mountains crumble to the sea,
yeah.
I would still be loving you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's one of the early ones.
It might be. I can't think of it. I know exactly
what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it either.
I know the song too, but I can't figure which.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's just a big
Eat
giant.
Eat the olive. That's not it.
No, I don't know what that is. I know
That's a B-side.
I think someone's drinking with us.
Well, that's good. And that's what you're supposed to do at the bar is have a few beverages.
Yeah, we've enjoyed our time at the bar. But
I hate to tell you, but my Uber is here. So I'm gonna.
I know. So we're going to get ready to tidy this one up here real quick, Eric, folks. Go back to my banners. As you see scrolling across the screen, please, folks, check out the pickcast.com.
And I can tell you also the number for the pick line. You can call a message and tell us your favorite albums. It's for the pick 34, or that's 484-374-2534. Call that number and you can leave a message with your favorite albums and we'll play it on our podcast.
There you go. Jeanette, make sure you go back, read it one more time for us.
484-374-2534.
All right.
And like you have on the screen now, at the Pitcast is our social media for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at the Pitcast. And pitcast.com has links to all our episodes and the top 100 lists so far.
So, Sean, we got a slot open for you. All right. I mean, the vibe of your show is very much conversationally like, you know, we try to achieve on ours. So you're a welcome guest anytime. It'd be really fun.
We hope to hear you on the pick line.
We will have to come up with something. I'll have to sit down and write down like my top five or something like that at least. I'll really have to think about it because there's some.
I think some people are intimidated to call because they just can't nail down their top five.
But that's why you got to write it down first. You always write it.
And so we say just call with any five. Just five that you love. We
like five albums. Look, no one's going to be like, your albums suck. No one likes your albums. Oh,
somebody probably
not will. Even your mom likes your albums.
I tell Kevin some of his have sucked so far. So, you know,
he didn't pick Sinead, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. but who knows? There could be a Sinead equivalent somewhere in that top 30.
Somewhere in there is Bette Midler.
Sean, listen to that album and then let me know if it's really that bad.
Karen says, don't overthink it, folks. Just come up with some album. All right, folks. And as always, we know for us, we've got on Instagram, we got at Above the Bar Podcast, Twitter, Above the Bar 4, email, the Above the Bar Podcast. We're on Facebook at the Above the Bar Podcast. We got a little bit of everything everywhere. If you like this, please send me a DM. We'll get you hooked up with any information that we're missing here. Gentlemen, this was so much fun. I enjoyed every bit of this.
I agree.
Thank you.
Rock, paper, scissors, so you guys can decide who gets to go last. Who gets really? To go? Yep. Rock, paper, scissors. Here we go.
Okay.
What are you doing? Rock, paper, scissors.
No, say one,
what? Okay. God.
Have you? All right. One more time.
All right, one more time. Live TV, people.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right. Scissors and paper. All right. So you win. All right. So you go.
What does that mean?
You
get to go.
What did we just accomplish?
God. So Kevin, you go, and then Jeff, you get to go.
Do what?
Say the final words. Good God. I thought I said it.
No.
you get the final words here, folks.
Oh, just the final words?
Yes.
All right. Kevin, you first.
Well, cheers.
We get a cheers. What do you got there, Jeff?
here's to sleeping with bow-legged women.
All righty, folks, be sure to push your stool in.
This has been an Earplug Podcast presentation. Found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.